Hey, this is Dave from the Three Little Pigs podcast, and you're listening to the Creepy Crap podcast.
Why, hello there, and welcome.
You're listening to the Creepy Crap podcast. It's quick, simple, and Australian. Now, if you want to follow along on the socials, you can get the show on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and Discord, all at one word at the Creepy Crap podcast. Or we could share film histories on Letterboxd at the Creepy Crap pod. And if you enjoy the podcast today, why not show some love with a 5-star review on whatever app you listen to this with? All right, now let's start one of Australia's favorite horror podcasts, the Creepy Crap podcast. And be warned that this episode will most likely contain swearing, spoilers, and adult themes. Welcome to the Creepy Crap Podcast. My name's Danny Boy, and I got a special guest episode. That's right, I've got Dave from the Three Little Pigs Podcast. How are you, Dave? Thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, good, Danny. Thank you very much for having me on, man. It's been a few weeks in the pipeline, but I'm looking forward to talking some creepy crap with you, mate.
But yeah, thank you so much for coming on. And you're from the Three Little Pigs Podcast. You're one of three pigs, I guess. Mm-hmm. Can you tell everyone what your podcast is about, and also, how did you get the name? Why were you the Three Little Pigs?
Because the podcast was really an excuse for me and the two other boys to get together and make sure we're all doing okay. Because obviously mates at the time, sometimes you may only see your mates once in a blue moon, but if we were recording once a month, then it became no excuse way to get and keep in touch. And then when obviously COVID hit, we're able to do it remotely, so we're just checking on each other. But what we do is we get obliterated drunk and talk shit and make up funny jokes. So we were like, hey, wonder if anyone else wants to hear us talk shit and make up funny jokes. And that was pretty much how it kicked off. And then we sort of based our stuff off the last podcast on the left, which has got three members as well, because there was three of us. We're like, oh, what's a good name? And like, oh, Three Little Pigs. There's three of us, so why not? And then butchered the Three Little Pigs song and re-edited it and re-managed it for us on our title of the thing. And well, hey, it sticks. There's three of us. And then I've got a mate who's an artist who designed our logo. And if you look closely at our logo, the three of us, our three sort of personalities are all split into it, because obviously Jamie's the Scottish fella, so he's wearing a kilt. I wear glasses, so he's only got one eye. And then Chris or Goose is the other guy who plays too many video games, and he's half cyborg, half pig. So that's pretty much us in a nutshell.
It's a cool little logo. I did wonder, I was like, it looked personalized, but I wasn't 100% sure, but that has confirmed it. Do you have a favorite episode of yours? What's the one you should start off with? The Three Little Pigs. What do you reckon everyone should go check out?
I think it's going to be episode 5. I've been asked this before by someone else who wanted to, just a Joe Public in real life who wanted to have a listen. So I sort of suggested starting from episode 5, which is 2 pints of lager and a Bruce Willis spritzer. That's come from a joke we made through the middle of the show. But the first couple of episodes, as you know as well, Danny, that sometimes when you're trying to learn the craft, the quality of your recording can be of a steep learning curve until you realize that, you know, you need to put a bit more effort into audio quality and making sure people aren't eating their microphones, etc. So that's why we sort of say go for number 5.
Keep your mouth and stuff like that, like poppings, move away from the microphone.
Pretty much, mate. So I said, there's nothing wrong with the content of those episodes. There, for example, the first episode doesn't even have a theme tune. So again, it was just thrown up at SoundCloud. We originally went through SoundCloud because our shows go in for like 2 hours.
So your podcast has had a bit of a hiatus. It looks like potentially you guys are recording and coming back.
Yeah, we're trying to. Sometimes the guys that I record with, Jamie and Goose, they work shift work as well. So I'm good to go, free most weekends, most nights to record. But sometimes getting us all together in the same room, there's been times where we've had 6 months or 3 to 6 months between episodes, which obviously is not good for consistency or listeners when you've only got 27 episodes all up. I'm trying to do some more, I call it fireside chats with Dave, where I just talk about a random topic for about 20 minutes as a sort of an aperitif between the big episodes, and eventually I'll try and get the boys all together in one room and do some more big recordings.
That sounds pretty awesome, man. It sounds like there's a lot of good things coming in the future for the Three Little Pigs podcast, so check that out, everyone. So the real reason you're here, man, is so we can talk about some New Zealand horror movies that are amazing. We've chosen one today. I don't mean to stereotype you into you're from New Zealand, so let's talk about movies from your country. But yeah, it's just to celebrate. It's not like we're putting shit on it. It's a great movie. all the movies I've seen from New Zealand are so good. They've just got great humour. The effects are good. There's fun. There's not a lot of them, but they are pretty good. Or maybe there is a lot. I don't know. So enough rambling. Let's get into Housebound. Do you like Housebound, Dave?
Housebound was good. I had seen it a long, long time ago and completely forgot about it until I realized right at the end of the movie, the big twist. I was like, oh, that's right. I have seen this movie. So it was good. It was good.
So 2014, goes for an hour and 47 minutes. I don't know. First question I was going to ask about the movie. We'll just jump in. That's why not. What were your first impressions of Kylie when you see her, say, the first 20 minutes or so of the movie?
From a junkie perspective, she's not obviously your average looking junkie. The acting initially was, in my opinion, was probably a little bit average and maybe a little bit over the top, but that was sort of setting the scene, I think, for her to jump in. Like, isn't she probably a little bit too obnoxious?
Just eating everything?
Yeah.
With the mums, I'm basically a prisoner in my own home. You watch it and you're just like, what the fuck? Who is this person? Like, I get you don't want to be there, but you can't be this bad. I don't know why.
Yeah.
It annoyed me. If I had dinner and someone ate it, I would have gone mental.
Because mum had that comedy relief side of things, it made it sort of switch almost to like a bit of a horror comedy. So she was sort of being that bit of a bitch, which is fine, which is what the character was going to be. But then mum was bringing that sort of horror comedy vibe later on, which is obviously what the movie is partially in the end.
You would almost feel like she's not acting.
Yeah. Miriam was, she's a familiar face from New Zealand television, the mum that plays the mum.
Oh, okay.
She plays the stereotypical. So she was in like Shortland Street, which is the Neighbours of New Zealand. And she's been in heaps of comedy movies and comedy skit comedy stuff over in New Zealand. So, and then she turned up sort of, you know, she increased the level of stereotypical New Zealand mum, even with the accent, was pretty, got hey guys. That was sort of Taika Waititi level of New Zealand accent.
So that's like people bunging on like the Australian accent.
Yeah. It's hammed up a little bit. Even like Amos, the security guard or his her parole officer, whatever you want to be, he obviously hammed it up a little bit as well. Like, she didn't have much of a New Zealand accent. There was no twang, but everyone else around her had like a hefty twang.
You gotta love a hefty twang. Anyway, when you first saw this movie, man, like, what did you kind of think the vibe of the movie was going to be? Did you think it was a ghost movie, like supernatural possession? What did you think was the movie when you first saw this, or like saw the cover at least?
Well, like, growing up, I used to work at a video store many, many moons ago when I was sort of 16. And so I'd hire out every horror movie you could think of when they came out and watch every movie I could find. And so I thought it sort of started like a little bit of maybe like a C-grade sort of film. I was like, oh, this is really not going anywhere. And there's maybe a few, this is going to have a twist somewhere, but I don't know where it's going to be. I don't know what's going to happen with it. And obviously they've added that weird looking neighbor who's got some problems. You know, there's all rumors about the neighbors. I was like, for goodness sake, this is going to be the mislead. I was like, oh, okay, here we go. And I watched through it, but obviously for me, like I said, I enjoyed the movie because of the fact that the way it started and the way it finished. There was elements through the whole thing which added, the overall rating was really, really good because of the way it changed. It didn't stay on one dimension. It sort of threw a few other like jump scares and physical effects and practical effects, which I like. So I grew up on the practical effects era where you've got real proper effects, physical effects versus CGI shit. So
it just makes a movie a lot better. Do you believe in the paranormal? If you're happy to be asked that, do you have any stories or anything you'd like to share?
There's definitely something to the paranormal side. My grandmother, she's obviously passed away about 10 years ago now, but she was in New Zealand, was quite a high clairvoyant or a medium.
Oh, wow. And
so she was definitely part of the spooky community. That's pretty much like the story side of things. Like, I've had stuff when I was like a kid growing up where I've had rocks and stuff thrown at me when no one was there. When I was, you know, with a girlfriend, I was like 15, 16, had rocks thrown at me. It turns out there was a place where two boys had drowned. Nothing sort of, I didn't see anything, but getting rocks thrown at you from an empty paddock or an empty area beside a river, there's definitely some unanswered
questions. Yeah, 100%. That's there. Weird.
Yeah. You're like,
who's out there?
Yeah. Oh, it's just me, Mr. Don't Warren, throwing rocks. But no, it's, yeah.
Just that's, your girlfriend every time you turn around.
She's hoofing rocks at the back of my head just to knock me out. No.
It's, I hate you.
Yeah. Oh, it's a ghost. But that's one of the reasons we talk about the paranormal stuff on the Three Little Pigs podcast, because we like that sort of spooky, weird conspiracy theory. Is it real? Is it not real shit? So that's why we enjoy that. So,
did you have a favorite character in the movie?
Yeah. The mum. Obviously, we talked about it at the beginning. Like I said, mum was...
The mum was your favorite?
Yeah. Mum or Amos. I think it was because that she was a familiar face.
He was like the voice of reason. He seemed like a genuine friend, and he was so excited about all the paranormal activity. But the mum, that's interesting.
I like the mum because mum was that sort of stable through the whole thing. Like she was there from the beginning and there at the end. She was stable through the whole thing. She obviously stuck with the cliche thing that she stuck with her daughter through thick and thin. And
She seems annoying, but she does generally love her and want her there and all this sort of stuff. She just wish she was like the girl she probably remembered as a kid.
Yeah, yeah. And the validation for mum, the old, was hearing something, you know, what's, you know, I'm not going mad. But that's sort of a full story arc for mum, because obviously the story arc was around Kylie and her story, but mum also had her own sort of story arc as well. So that's it.
You get the vibe they bonded over it as a kid. When she was younger, they both saw something. They knew something was there. And then she got older and then she distanced herself from it. And then, where they finally were like both on the same page, where she's like, shh, listen. And then I feel like that's the moment they were like, we're back to where we were. And then, the dynamic changed a lot after that.
Yeah, 100%, man. 100%. I said, so mum was the...
You've got me turning for the mum now. I've got like a two-part question here for you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a favourite scene in the movie? And did any of the scenes shock you?
My favourite scene was when the psychologist got injured. It sounds really terrible, but the practical effects that came out for that and the dialogue over the blank screen and then the jump scare, I liked that a lot, where the power went out and then when it jump scared back in, that was probably my favourite scene.
Oh, yeah, because he's standing there for a bit with the sheet on.
Yeah, and then it flashes in between to the jump scare and then he comes all riddled with, I can't remember what he was.
Yeah, it's like a clothesline or something.
Clothes dryer, wherever it is, the era.
I was going to say clothes horse. Is that right?
Yeah, clothes horse fits. Why not? I'll go with that.
Look it up later. I'm like, nope, that was wrong.
A clothes horse is something completely different. That's a sexual term. No, but I didn't have any scenes that sort of shocked me per se. Like I said, it was jump scares are meant to throw people off. The old hand coming out underneath when she was down in the basement. The hand coming underneath. There was. And then that's when I sort of, the brain clicked going, oh, that's right. There was. I remember this movie now. That was the bit that made me go, I know what this movie's about.
Graham's stabbing was a bit of a shock to me, I thought. That was the one where you're like, oh, fuck. She's getting chased by the neighbor, puts a pair of garden scissors straight through his stomach.
Clearly the world's best doctors to repair his insides, because I'm pretty sure it went through the liver. Would have bled out in 30 seconds, but that's fine. I thought he died. I'm like, oh, he's going to be dead. This is going to add a bit of sadness to the movie, but spoiler alert.
So the big reveal, we've talked about it. We can spoil it. I spoil the movies anyway. It's warned in the start of the show and all that sort of stuff. But how was the big reveal when you found out about Eugene? Have you seen a twist like this before in any movies?
Not as much. Like they usually do it with like a ghost or some sort of normal shtick that comes with it. So having that weird little man living in the roof was a little bit different to what I expected. And it sort of explained it, especially when the house is clearly must be fucking huge with the amount of time he's able to scurry through the walls. Yeah, it was good. I didn't expect it. I think I can remember watching it the first time and going, oh, bit of a twist, but didn't really appreciate it until I saw it for the second time. So no, it was good. And Eugene, obviously, as soon as they started talking about the how it used to be the halfway house and that girl died, and you knew something was going to happen. But then the secondary twist was good as well with the other part with the psychologist. So,
yeah, that's what I was going to ask as well. Like when you see that actual twist, did you enjoy that when you found like the killer wasn't him or the neighbor? They're actually like, he's my weird son that likes sitting in small spaces and all this sort of stuff. And all the suspected bad guys throughout the movie were all misleads, as well as all the little bits that happen. You're like, it's not a ghost. It's an actual person on the roof. But he's actually good. Apart from I think openly going, I watch you in the shower and all this. That was a bit
they glazed over that pretty bad. They sort of glazed over that. Sorry, I'm a massive peeping Tom, but that guy killed a girl. You're like, oh, no worries, weird man living in the roof. They glazed over that pretty well. They definitely glazed over his offences from 20 years prior. So no, it's fine.
Yeah, but the counselor, the twist, it was like, oh, all good, because there's three fucking characters in one movie, all have false teeth, like the dentures. But that bit where he's eating, he's like, I'm like, oh. That was the scariest part for me, is watching him take the fucking thing out while eating a biscuit and just like chewing. You're like, oh, that's fucking disgusting. Yeah. Blew up where it's like, Eugene Isers or whatever the neighbor was talking about, where it's like he shoves a fucking like barbecue fork up his head, which I would be like, Oh, I always think that's fucked when someone gets a knife up through the chins. For some reason, that seems worse than any other direction being stabbed. But and then fucking just blows his head to pieces.
The upstroke into the underneath the chin into the head is obviously it's a good option to choose as opposed to like when Graham gets duffed in the liver and survives, and all the other practical offense when he gets wrapped up in the clothes horse. Having something different again, it became that point of difference. It became like the ultimate Scooby Doo episode where all the misleads. Yeah, it's definitely not this person living in the amusement park. It's definitely not this guy. Oh no, it's old man Johnson. This became like the ultimate mislead from a Scooby-Doo episode, so it was good. Like I enjoyed the whole plot from start to finish, so it was good.
All right, well, speaking of you enjoying it, this is a nice little segue. Let's get into the ratings. Now it's time for the movie rating. There's four parts with a max score out of 5 per section, adding up to a potential total score out of 20. Part 1 is characters. Was it relatable? Was it fun? Was it annoying? Part 2 is the plot. Was it plausible? Enjoyable? Rubbish. Part 3 is the quality. Was it good effects? Did it look good? And part 4 is the vibe. What was the feeling once it finished? So that's the four sections. Now let's find out the results. So you have done your homework on this, you've said, so might as well jump into it then. So part one, for the characters, relatable, fun, all that sort of stuff. Out of 5, what have you given the characters?
I've given 4. 4 out of 5, because of the whole cast adding to the whole thing. Like it wasn't just one standout to go, oh, that's the main character. Everybody and every character who you came across had their own part to play, even from the bumbling police officers through to the lawyer and obviously everyone else through the whole thing. They all had their part to play, so I gave it a 4.
All right, excellent. Part 2 is the plot. Plausible, enjoyable, was it shit? What, out of 5, what have you got for plot?
I've gone for a 3. Like it was a good, the plot is definitely plausible. You could have someone living in your roof, but it's probably a little bit far-fetched that they've been in there for 10 to 12 years where they're having to come down. And yes, it's definitely
and only
plausible,
one pot full of shit.
Yeah, exactly right. He would have been bathing in his own excrement for years. That would have been his staple food, but I know he was going down and nicking stuff out of the cupboards, which was part of the plot. But 3, I'd say that there's parts of it, which the whole process of getting sent off to your mum's house and real life stuff, like if you throw a real life spin on it, if we're going to sort of, like I said, I love the movie, but if we were going to throw a little bit of shade at it, it's going to be like maybe some of the plot lines were a little bit thin.
Reason that she's there, quite like, especially when he's like, we could get her into anger management, all this sort of stuff. And he goes, nope, none of these clearly work. Let's send her home. Wouldn't it be like logical to be like, none of those have worked. Let's teach her a lesson. A year in jail, not go back to a comfortable house for a year. Oh, sweet.
A little bit changed the plot of the movie, wouldn't it, if she was in jail the entire time? Especially if Eugene was hiding in the roof of the jail.
Women's jail, though, that's probably not the worst roof to be hiding in.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. If the walls could talk, Danny, if the walls could talk.
So part 3 is the quality out of 5, obviously. Was it good effects? Did it look good? You have mentioned this a little bit already, but out of 5, what do you give the quality?
I gave it a 4. Like I said, it's a high one, but the practical effects were really good, and it wasn't a lot of CGI. It was a little bit of CGI here and there, but the jump scares weren't too much, and it fit the scenes really well. And the house that they used, obviously where most of the movie was based around, it sort of fit the aesthetic of that they were going for. So, I gave it a 4 for overall. Yeah, the practical effects were my sort of big one. I like practical effects physical effects versus CGI shit. So,
I feel like the head exploding was probably the only part that didn't actually happen.
No, of course.
Obviously not. His real head, but I don't know if it was a fake head that blew up either, or if that part was just CGI. But a quick question, just I'm fascinated about this for some reason. Do the houses there actually have basements?
Not a lot. There's some old school houses that do. Like I never lived in a house with a basement. And I think they probably chose that house because it gives a little bit of that for the international audience. Obviously, you have a lot of US houses that'll have a basement in it, so they can go, oh, I can relate to that. Most New Zealand houses, unless it's really old, or they might have a wine cellar or something built in, or like a cellar downstairs, but not to that extent. Again, the age of the house is going to determine whether you've got able to hide shit in the walls or have a small man living and running down your walls. Yeah.
How has no one questioned or gone in the roof at all? Like at no point someone's doing the wiring and thought in 20 years maybe I'll go in the roof, try and fix a few things. Oh, I heard a creak up here, maybe check it out. Like, oh, the furnace is fucked.
But no, most New Zealand houses do not have basements unless they're super old.
Yeah, fair enough. So to finish up the ratings, we got part 4, the vibe, out of 5, obviously, the same as the rest. What was your feeling once the movie was finished? Out of 5, what would you give the vibe?
4. I gave it a 4. The reason why is It was a good movie for a New Zealand movie. Sounds really terrible coming from New Zealand, but the horror genre doesn't get a lot of chance in New Zealand without turning it into a cheesy C-grade film. Some international films are filmed in New Zealand, but it's not a New Zealand film. 30 Days and 30 Nights, the vampire one that was filmed in New Zealand, released saying it wasn't New Zealand.
Yeah, like pretends it's somewhere else.
Yeah. Like Lord of the Rings, that was filmed in my back garden. The music was really good during the tense scenes, and the comedy that was interspersed through it broke up that sort of horror thriller feel to the movie, and it was a bit of a palate cleanser between all the horror scenes as opposed to like horror, which is constantly coming at you. It gave you that palate cleanse to have a bit of a go, oh, this is a comedy movie, then all the jump scares, and the horror movie, then Eugene, then the old guy in the back garden, then fork through the chin. So it was good. I gave it a 4.
Yeah, I gotta say the New Zealand people really know how to nail horror comedies. I feel like if they've got it like a claim to stuff, they've nailed it. They all the ones I can think of, like there's not tons, obviously, but like a lot of them, they're all decent. Like they're all very watchable. You're like, oh, fuck, that's garbage. And they're just funny. Yeah, they know what they're doing. And yeah, like you said, there's not many. Maybe that's why it makes them look so good, because they're not diluted with so many other shit ones and all this sort of stuff. But yeah, quality over quantity, I guess.
Well, it's like Peter Jackson's first three films were Brain Dead, Bad Taste, and Meet the Feebles. So those three movies are all horror comedies, or very like, apart from Meet the Feebles. I don't know if you've seen that movie.
I have not seen that. I did want to see it when I covered Brain Dead. No, I have not seen it. It looks fucking weird. It's like a hippo or some shit.
Oh, it's all like Muppets. It's all.
Oh, right. It's
all one of the characters gets AIDS from sleeping with lots of women, and it's crazy that it's a Peter Jackson film. But have you seen Bad Taste yet?
Yeah, I've seen Bad Taste like ages ago. I've only seen it once. I don't remember it too much.
It's worth a watch again, because if you see the rocket launcher in the sheep, that where they fire, the guy fires the rocket launcher through the house, it goes through the house and hits a sheep in a paddock. The old and blows up. So again, these little bits, the small things, small minds, you know, at least it, but again, good movie. This is what basically what we're talking about is these horror movies, which are comedy. They've come up now as cult classics, especially Peter Jackson ones. So
yeah.
Like Frighteners.
What We Do in the Shadows.
Yep. Oh, I love that movie.
Speaking of a good laugh, here's the tally. It has nothing to do with anything. I'm going to tally up your scores now. Let's do a little boop, 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 boop. Okay. Drum roll. Nice. Finished at the same time there. 15 out of 20. So 15 out of 20 for Housebound. That was Dave's rating from the Three Little Pigs podcast of Housebound, as I just said. That's pretty good. That's a 75%. Thank you so much for watching that and talking about that with me and rating it with me. And anytime, before man. We go, do you want to just tell everyone where they can get the Three Little Pigs podcast?
Yeah, of course, man. Thank you very much for having us on. I said it was good actually to be able to sit down and be a bit of a reviewer of a movie and have a look at it from another perspective as opposed to seeing it. But we can see us on Spotify. Again, podcasts come out wherever you get them now. So if you can't find it, then you'll find it on another platform. But it's the Three Little Pigs podcast. We're on YouTube as well, but not much goes on there. Instagram is the Three Little Pigs podcast. You'll find our logo on there as well. Come and say hello. We're on there and I run the social media stuff. So you'll be talking to me when you message. So yeah, thank you very much, Danny. I appreciate the shout outs and having us on today. Thank you very much.
You are welcome, my friend. Thank you so much, Dave. Thanks for coming on. We talked about Housebound. It was a pleasure having you on. You are welcome back whenever you feel like it.
Thank you very much, man. We'll definitely take you up on that offer.
No worries. And this was the Creepy Crap Podcast. My name's Danny Boy, and I'll catch you next week. Bye-bye.